So let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy, there ain't no bad guy, there's only you and me, and we just disagree.
Oh, hello, welcome to Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Season 1, Episode 4, or it's a mini-series, so Season 1 is not applicable. But either way, I am here once more. This is Ryan with guest Chad. Say whatever you want to say after I say all those things, Chad.
Whatever you want to say after I say all those things, Chad.
I don't know. That's, you did this bit. This bit has been done. Yeah. Say something else.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot here.
Okay, and I am back and ready for the recap of the fourth episode. I will continue doing the James role of remembering what happened during the show, which is getting tougher and tougher with this show, because I watched it on Sunday morning. I thought, you know, this show is getting into the territory of, okay, that wasn't terrible, is exactly how I feel most of the time at the end of the episode.
All right, okay,
and
fair.
This is that not how you feel?
I feel like the show's had a steady, albeit slow at times, rate of improvement, and I think that this is probably the best episode we've gotten so far.
It's just odd that the first episode was the worst one. The pilot is usually not supposed to be the worst episode of the series, but so far for me, it definitely has been. That first 10-minute set piece of action in the air, further proving that the Falcon can only be useful when something is falling out of the sky, in retrospect, is just kind of dumb, and you just feel, like, I just feel this ticking, this clock internally happening in my bones, like rampaging towards an ending of this show where things must be falling out of the sky once more for the Falcon to be again used.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for an airplane to show up.
I feel like this show is a lot of getting your chess pieces in place so that you can have your great checkmate in the end. And I think we're finally getting to that point, but you're right. I mean, a lot of this just kind of feels like we're putting these characters through the steps, introducing the characters that we need to be introduced to in the places and times they need to be introduced in order to get them in a place where when they show us the final set piece, we understand the stakes better. Which, I mean, arguably you could say is the point of any first act of a show. It seems like the first act of the show is lasting 5 episodes.
The show is about Super Serum. It's about what are the ethics, what is the moral code, whose responsibility is it? Especially people who take the super serum, what is your responsibility to the world when becoming a superhero is a choice? For most of them, it's a choice. And this episode, a person makes that choice, and we'll get into it. The name of this episode is "The Whole World is Watching," which is a phrase that was previously chanted during the trial of the Chicago 7 trailer. That's all I can think about when I hear that phrase.
Yeah, I've got nothing to add.
Sick. Yeah. Sick. Bucky and Sam and Zemo, our dynamic trio, are still back together. They are now trying to find Mama Donna's funeral. They arrive, I believe, in Latvia. They're trying to cut Carly off at the pass before she explodes any more people. Zemo becomes useful as he very lightly interrogates children, gives them candies, literally giving candy to children.
And, like, the first villain that we all learn about as toddlers is the man who gives candy to little kids.
Yeah, this one has pretty sweet moves in the nightclub and also gives sweets to children and doesn't feel bad about it at all. But to be fair, it works perfectly. He points at Falcon and Bucky and he's like, those people are bad people. In the future, just run away from them. They're the worst. But also, where is your maternal figure? And where is she having a funeral? And they just tell him, and then he doesn't tell that information to his friends. He uses it immediately as leverage, at which point Bucky doesn't put his arm through Zemo's torso, which is hard for me to understand.
So do you think that's going to pay off in the end? Do you think like the kids are going to come to Zemo's aid and not the other two? Like do you think that there was a point to that at all, or just to show that like he's pulling the strings in the background?
I don't think it will pay off. I think it's just to let the audience know that Zemo can gain power slowly but surely. Just like he can be grasping at power at any given time, and he is charismatic enough to have the game be not insane. It's just he's good at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's good at it. They're bad at it. He's good at it.
Okay. Just more pointless setup.
It's character building ish.
Character building,
I think, is their point.
I mean, I don't think anybody thought that he was just going along with everything. I think we could have all assumed that he was going to look out for himself.
Yes, obviously, and his the amount of building that is happening to his character is on the rise at the moment because there are many external factors that are trying to murder him, mostly. From last episode, all of Wakanda is basically yes. now here because, you know, he killed their king. So they're mad at him. And we know that as an audience. And he does, too. So he's just like, I need everyone in the world I can get on my side And whether those people are children or not, like, I just need to start talking people into being like, I'm good guy, those bad guys.
Yeah, and in the beginning of this episode, before the scene you just mentioned, Bucky has a conversation with, what's her name? Ooh, something. I'm terrible with names. We hear the moniker White Wolf again, which is a character from the Marvel Comics. It was like an adopted brother of T'Challa. So I wonder if they're going to try to rebrand Bucky into the White Wolf character. If they're not going to make him Captain America. Because it's the second time they've mentioned that in this series.
Yeah, so just this series, perhaps the main objective is to throw the Winter Soldier to the side. And, you know, he goes from Green Ranger to White Ranger.
Yeah, basically, exactly that. Yeah, this is kind of like a rebranding for all the characters. Because, I mean, who doesn't assume that that Falcon doesn't become Captain America at the end of the show? And the Winter Soldier, I mean, all through the show, we've seen this negative connotation that comes about with his name. You know, he's in need of a rebranding, too. And they've already played with White Wolf. So it seems reasonable to assume that we're going to get a double rebranding.
Well, the negativity that has to do with his name is because of all the murder, Chad.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, if you look past the murder, I guess it's not so bad.
There are a lot of people that you could say that about. Most serial killers, their defense in court be like, just look past it.
The political engineering and basically shaping the world over the last 80 years, you know, no big deal.
Sure. You have, in a previous episode, questioned my scale of morality, but with your two or three previous sentences, I believe we should be on the lookout for a ends justify the means Machiavellian rampaging Chad into our near future. Just everyone keep track of that.
Yeah, take out your bingo cards.
Sam has decided that he wants to go talk to Carly alone. He believes that they have enough in common, enough middle ground where he can make some headway, but everyone around him thinks that is a lackluster idea. Most formidably, the Captain America that is next to him, who also found Mama Danya. They're all in the same place at the same time. And Captain America plus Battlestar feelings on the subject are, let's rush in there and hit everybody with my shield. And Sam is like, no, I am a bad fighter, so let me do the thing that I'm better at, which is talking. That happens for about 5 minutes. Sam is seen above Mama Danya's funeral as people leave. Carly and him have a conversation where he's like, I understand. I don't know about you, Chad, but I get so annoyed when characters in shows, and perhaps I'm projecting here, say things like, I understand. I'm on your side. And the other character who's being talked to immediately isn't like, stop, shut up, shut up, shut the fuck up. You do not.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you're right. It's a little tropey, and you know, they're clearly trying to manufacture like some relationship with the heroes and the villain, and it's not because they want the heroes to agree. It's because they want the audience to be sympathetic, and we're using the heroes as our channel to do that. But I mean, I don't think that makes it less effective. Like, knowing how the sausage is made doesn't make the sausage any less tasty. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I am hungry for sausage.
Yeah, I mean, that was the point of me saying that. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, it's Marvel. We're not going to have any revelations, any groundbreaking writing. We got a little bit of that with WandaVision. You know, we got a very interesting, well-written, unique show, and today we're going to get some political espionage, and it's going to be a little bit paint by numbers. Sure, let's go. Let's get to the
fights. We're going
to
deal with it. Captain America and Battlestar can only let that happen for the allotted 10 minutes.
Right.
At which point they barge in. Sam feels like he was about to kind of pull this out. He was about to have a conversation with Carly that was going to lead to something positive, but it gets broken up by sheer force and violence. They all start to have a fight. Carly gets away, but she kind of runs into Zemo, who has a gun and shoots her a few times in the torso, at which point he gets hit in the face, I believe.
Well, no, first she tries to stagger away, and she bumps into a table and drops a bunch of the serum, the super soldier serum, on the ground. And then Zemo is like, oh, I found this. And he like picks it up. And I think we're supposed to think that he's going to take it himself. But obviously he doesn't, because that would fly against the entire character that we know and love. So he breaks all the vials. He starts stomping on the vials. And before he's done, he gets whacked in the head by Captain America's shield.
I didn't think he was going to take the serum. For a moment, the audience is supposed to think that for sure, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Where absolutely. He's like, okay, I've said this my entire life. This is my entire shtick, is I think that super soldiers are bad and that the choice to do so is hubris. But while holding it in my hand, you know, does absolute power corrupt me absolutely? And he then starts smashing them all. But they are all over the ground, and he starts smashing all of them on the ground, and he thinks he gets them all. But right. sadly, he does not. Captain America sees one lowly vial, and he puts it in his pocket.
Yes, he does.
In a follow-up scene, the Dora Magi, or however you'd like to say that, Wakanda, as a whole, the representatives of which show up at the boys' suite, and they all have a large fight that does not go well for the boys.
Correct. Apparently, Bucky has a arms fall off button on his arm that he didn't know about.
Yes. But his old mentor does, right? Her name is Oya, I believe. That's Okoye. The name you were searching for?
Okoye, I thought.
What?
Am I wrong?
I think so.
Okay.
Okay. And so that's another L in the column for Captain America. He is just stacking up these L's. He's getting the crap kicked out of him. And this time it's someone who does not have the super serum inside him or her. It's not at all, I think, to him about the gender of the person who just kicked the shit out of him. It's more so like he can justify getting beaten up by someone who's a super soldier while he is not. He is as close to a super soldier without the serum as can be, but he just cannot overcome. He's trying to be Captain America without it, and Steve Rogers didn't have to do that shit. So this time he loses again, and he is having a real existential crisis because Captain America is not supposed to lose this many times in a row.
Right. He definitely has an inferiority complex at this point. And it kind of goes along with my theory where, like, he's going to keep losing and it's going to result in him needing to seek out, at this point he has it, the super soldier serum in order to, you know, boost his performance.
Yeah. So during all of this, by the way, Zemo just, like, slips into the bathroom, goes down a tube, and he's gone.
Yeah, you're right. By the way, Okoye was not the character. Okoye is the leader of the Dora Milaje. You're right. It is Io. Sorry. I get all their names confused. I'm terrible with names. I looked it up because we owed it to the fans to get it right.
We really did. We owe them a lot. And one thing that we owe them is being correct 10% of the time.
At least.
I am historically decent with names, but that one didn't go nearly as well as I'd hoped. And it doesn't matter. We're going to move on with our lives like it never happened.
Okay.
The next thing that happens is that Carly calls Sam's sister and threatens his entire family, which is very even-keeled, not something that a bad person or the evil person in a story would do.
Never. Ever, ever, ever. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's another, I kind of backdoored that one.
We'll fill in another paint by number, a little checkbox in there for the standard villain maneuvers.
At the same time, Sharon Carter is now helping them. They give Sharon a call, and Sharon's like, I have the ability to move satellites from Madripoor. What is my power level? How much clout do I have from being excommunicated and on a small island? Apparently a lot.
Yeah, that confused me. And to this day, like, I need to watch the episode over again or something. Did they put a tracker on Captain America? Did they? What happened there? Like,
I assume the shield has a tracker in it, or something like that.
Okay, and she has access to the shield's tracker, a shield that she hasn't seen in years and has been reforged because it was destroyed by Thanos. And I mean, it's just.
I agree, Chad. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And, like, suddenly she's around a whole bunch of other, like, heavily armed men. Like, I feel like there's more to her character. And there's a lot of speculation online about her being the power broker. And I don't know how I feel about that, but it does kind of seem like we're leaning in that direction. But then, I mean, if James were here, he's the first to say that Marvel's great with these red herrings. And it kind of seems like they're trying to make us think that Sharon Carter is going to be like a bigwig, like a really important character, and then they're going to rename her Boner, and then it's going to be done.
Oh my God. I'll be the first to say it. I don't care either way. and I'm not the first to say it for sure. A lot of the internet is like, every time she shows up on screen, it becomes worse. Her character as a whole is not interesting to me. And where she's going, the mystery surrounding her is not important to me at all. So
shots fired.
Her character is just an anchor on the show, in my opinion. And whenever the truth comes out as to who she is, what she is, and how she's truly affecting the story, my eyes will ostensibly roll and I'll move on with my life because I don't care.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the only thing that might be redeeming for her character as like a story-wise would be if they were just using this as a stepping stone and we were going to get more of her at some point in the future and like delve further into her backstory. Because right now we know two things about her. We know she is Peggy Carter's granddaughter or grandniece, and that she broke the law to help the Avengers. Those are literally the only two facts we know about her.
And in the next scene, all hell breaks loose. We got another fight scene where Sam and Bucky are trying to basically save Captain America and Battlestar. But Battlestar gets taken by the Flag Smashers before they can even get there. And when Sam and Bucky jump into the fray, Sam watches as New Cap bends a large piece of steel in half, which it becomes obvious to him and the audience that New Cap has. In a previous scene, he asked Battlestar, you're like, hey, if you had the super serum, would you like take it?
Right.
And Battlestar was like, fucking yeah, dude. Right. Which was like the easiest last straw. And obviously Captain America, the new one at least, has done so. Which,
yeah, they played again, this.
The old Captain America did as well.
Yes, he did. Well, they played this like will he or won't he for a minute, and I think they did. They actually did a decent job humanizing his character because, like, Battlestar said, you know, like, yeah, you got 3 Medals of Honor. You know, who's more qualified than you? And he's like, well, yeah, but I got 3 Medals of Honor. You know, living through the worst day of my life, I did terrible things to get those Medals of Honor. Like he's already got this self-doubt, and then we find out that it's not will he or won't he, it's he did and now what. And I mean, we'll find out shortly, it may not have enhanced the right features in this character.
This episode did a lot of things wrong. The one thing it did correctly, in my opinion, is humanizing New Captain America.
Yes.
Hashtag not my cap.
Hashtag
on
my
the
cap.
Internet. perhaps a little my cap. Like I get his point. I'm understanding him more and more and hating him less and less. And the event that truly brings, I think, the audience and me around simultaneously, as I am part of said audience, is that Battlestar gets straight murdered. Carly pushes him into a cement beam, and they go over to him to check his pulse and everything. But sadly, he is deceased, which is the, straw on the camel's back, and the camel was already carrying a skyscraper.
Right. Yeah, and more importantly, he dies saving Captain America. Like, the last thing that he did was get in the way of somebody trying to get Cap, and then he's thrown into this pillar and dies immediately. And the mission was to save him. So, you know, it's kind of three ways. You know, Cap failed to save his friend, he failed to avoid getting injured, and in doing so, lost his best friend. So, you know, he's having a bad day.
New Cap is obviously distraught. His best friend is dead. He couldn't save him even with the super soldier serum inside his veins. And he runs trying to find Carly, finds a Flag Smasher. I believe it was the Flag Smasher that we've seen him before. He's had conversations.
He was, he was her friend, and the previous conversation that we saw with him was him talking about how Captain America was his favorite Avenger.
Tough times, because he is found by an enraged version of Captain America, who then, in front of many, many people out in a public square, uses his Captain America shield to cave in this dude's head.
Yeah, he decapitates him. He straight up cuts off his head with the edge of the shield. And there's a couple of interesting parallels here. So the way that Cap holds the shield in this episode is very reminiscent of Steve Rogers' Cap. Like, you see him hold the shield and, like, hold the gun over the shield, like Cap did in the first Captain America movie. And then the scene before as he's decapitating the Flag Smasher dude, that is pulled directly from Civil War, where he is about to appear to do the same thing to Tony Stark, but obviously instead of, you know, hitting him in the head, he hits the arc reactor and shuts down the suit, thereby winning. But, like, the parallel of, like, here he is, Captain America, being Captain America, translated directly into, you know, that same exact shot, but the dark version of it. I mean, like I said, I thought this was the best episode so far of the season, and I think it's because of, like, little moments like that that you would only really appreciate if you, you know, did a deep dive in the MCU like I have. Or you watched a lot of YouTube videos that talked about it.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that they did a really good job. So yeah, he does that very, very publicly. And we see a bunch of people, like, taking videos of it. And, you know, there's only so many ways this can go now for new Cap.
Right. I mean, we now have two instances in this show of cell phone videos that are going to haunt the characters. Bucky's therapist is for sure going to see the video of him kicking the shit out of people in a Madripoor bar. And Twitter already has the video of hashtag not my cap, hashtag decapitate cap, already murdering a person in broad daylight.
Yeah, and let's not forget the video of Baron Zemo dancing at the club. That's also going to haunt some of the characters in this show.
Everybody. The most important one, Marvel Studios YouTube channel posted a hour-long video of it happening over and over again today.
And I am
not ashamed
to
tell you, I watched it a long time.
Apparently that whole dance was completely ad-libbed.
Oh, yeah.
No choreography.
Well, he bounced and shimmied. Daniel Brühl can move. We all know that now. I did like the blood spatter on the bottom of the Cap shield. It did remind me of Watchmen blood spatter.
I was going to say the same thing.
Although, yeah, they don't have, like, they don't own blood spatter, but it was pretty reminiscent there. And obviously, we've watched Watchmen recently. It's, you know, the new show by Damon Lindelof on HBO, James and I have done. And you can listen to that, by the way, in our back catalog. Also, just really quickly, patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. I now spell it all the way out, Chad, because you were like, boys isn't spelled that way and you should specify. And I agreed.
You know, I would like to make sure that I get my commission for all of the signups since you've made that change.
Oh, perfect. You get zero. You get nothing.
Okay. That's what we agreed
because
upon.
There was nothing. I'm not like I'm not keeping anything back from you. No one has joined, so you get shit.
Fair. That's fair. As long as I get what I'm due.
Exactly. So, yeah. We've reached the end of the fourth episode. We have two more episodes to go. We have not gotten any post-credit scenes yet, as we have previously called. We think there's going to be one at the end. I'll say, you know, Zemo's power, his superpower at this point of the story is just he's very good at making other people around him fight each other when he needs them to.
Yeah. Yes, he is. You know, there's a lot of moving parts. I feel like there are more moving parts in this show than they could resolve satisfyingly. Because Zemo, while an interesting character, doesn't really have a lot of, I'll use a coin my wife told me, my wife said recently, there's not a lot of density around his story. He's there because it makes sense for him to be there, kinda, and you feel like he's going to play a part, but there's not really a, like, he is not a part of the arc of the main story. You know what I mean? And then there's the whole story with Wakanda, which they're basically just upset that, you know, that he's free, and it all of that just kind of seems tangent to the main storyline, which is, you know, the Flag Smashers are this, you know, this terrorist group that are trying to, you know, steal resources and kill a bunch of people because they liked the way the world was while Thanos was here. And then there's the Power Broker.
And it's just getting farther and farther away.
Yeah.
From caring about Bucky and Sam.
Yeah. It's like, kind of funny because the show's
called...
That is
my main... Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's my main... just criticism of this episode, which is like the way to make this story better, the way to make this all more interesting is for character development to happen outside of our two main characters. And it's a 6-episode series. So like time is of the essence.
Yeah. Like there's not really a lot of growth with our two main characters. Like I almost feel like the show, if the show was titled like Power, you know, obviously hire a writer to change that up. But just like Power in its rawest term, what does it mean? Because we've got super soldiers, we've got, you know, terrorists, we've got Zemo who represents this like manipulation and what that kind of power means. You know, there's all these different examples of types of power that we're dealing with. And I think that that would be have been a better representation of what the show is really exploring, because it's not exploring Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
It was a buddy comedy for 2 episodes.
Yeah, and then they changed.
And now that shit's over.
You know, there's Captain
Zemo,
America,
by the way.
Who's like I'm Captain America. You know, I've got all of this political power and all this like this representative power as being, you know, Steve Rogers' replacement. But really, I have no power, as evidenced by my losing streak. You know, so like that lack of power changed that character. You know, I think there's something to be said there that the show isn't really giving us what they were selling us.
No, not at all. And Wakanda did not Wakanda. WandaVision did the same exact thing, but in a positive way.
Right. Right.
Anyway, Zemo had a great line I wanted to talk about a little. The desire to become superhuman cannot be separated from supremacist ideals.
Hmm.
He said this because Carly was making the point that he or that she is anti-supremacy.
Right.
That is what she's working towards. Her entire deal is anti-supremacy. But that is easy for the super soldier to say.
Right. You know, it's kind of ironic because that's not to get too political, but that is the foreign policy ideal of the United States. We will deter everyone from having war by making sure that we are the best at war. You know what I mean? We'll
yeah.
take the power so you don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, you really only have to go to like World War II, where like 3/4 into it, America's like, hey, how's everybody doing? We winning? Cool, 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 cool. You guys looking good over there? Oh, hey, over there. Hey, where's that front line? I'm ready to go. Like, okay, bud, you have not been here for any of this. You're coming into swoop glory. You're fucking glory stealers. And they're like, yeah, but we gonna swoop so good.
Yeah, but guys, I got this really cool bomb, and I just gotta use it.
No, don't. I already did.
I did
Fuck
twice.
You. I did it.
I did it. It's done.
Yeah, that's exactly what American politics and warmongering is like. We don't even have any super serum. I'm going to jump off of this so so fast. Okay, so Bucky in Wakanda, the flashback of him hearing trigger words.
Yeah.
And the not turning for the first time. Sebastian Stan.
Yeah.
Should be Luke Skywalker, and he is good.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I mean, not to crap all over James. I mean, if he wants to defend himself, he's welcome to
do it,
the conversation.
Dude. Yeah, if he was here, he could defend himself, but he's not. So
he crapped all over Sebastian Stan's performance in the first couple episodes, and I think that what he was really reacting to was the character, not the performance, because he was kind of like a nonchalant, kind of dull, like annoyed, sarcastic character. And I get it. I mean, like, that's a character we see a lot. But that scene in this episode, I think it proved that he has the chops, Sebastian Stan.
Oh, absolutely. So now, where are we? Zemo has escaped.
Zemo's escaped.
Carly is as disenfranchised as ever.
Yeah, lost her best friend.
A few best friends have been lost. Mm-hmm. Cap is the same way. He is a raging lunatic at this point, all hopped up on the super serum he just took moments ago. But he's also going to have to deal with the backlash of a public outcry because Captain America is not supposed to slaughter somebody in the street.
Are you sure?
So what does he look like when and if the shield is taken away from him or when he is asked to give it back and he's like, oh, no, thank you. And
so do you
Sam and Bucky?
Finish your thought.
My thought is that Sam and Bucky are the farthest away from being interesting they've ever been.
Yeah. I think the most character development that we're going to get for those characters is Sam used to work on a shrimping boat, and I think this episode is probably the best episode we'll get for Bucky, where, you know, he...
Yes, exactly. I was going to specify. It's really Sam. And this is from the beginning, right? Where, mm-hmm. like, everybody's story is decent, and it has, like, upticks into good and great. Sam's never does. His story falls behind so quickly. Yeah, while this actually was like I was naysaying, but it was a good Bucky episode too, because things are happening. Like the flashback to Bucky that we just talked about is so good.
Yeah,
you know, like Carly is just in real time threatening Sam's family, but I just don't care. I care 0%.
Well, I think that Sam he's the only character that doesn't really have a hook. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to tie the Winter Soldier in his past and, you know, like, what it means to be this broken man. It's easy to play with that character. Like, that's a mold of... That's a blob of clay that you can shape pretty easily. But the Falcon, unfortunately for Sam, is defined as being Captain America's sidekick. And that's really all that we got for him. So he seems
right,
out of
when
place.
In the comics, the original Captain America sidekick was Bucky.
Yeah.
Although he was a child in the 1940s.
Right. Well, I mean, they go fast and loose with those characters. But yeah. So he just seems out of place. Because, like, even Zemo, another character with no superpowers, you know, has a superpower, like you mentioned, and that is the manipulation. Whereas Sam seems to be kind of good at bumbling. You know, like he's the guy who ruined the plan at the bar where he got a phone call from his sister. And he's the one who got trapped.
Put it on
by...
vibrate, idiot.
Yeah, geez. I mean, you're on a mission. Don't even bring your phone. So, no. So I agree. I think that this is probably the best we're going to get for the Winter Soldier, unfortunately, in this series. But there's more there. And I'm interested in that character because of how broken he is and because of his redemption arc. I think the going theory, and it's safe to assume that in the next episode, Walker, New Cap, that video gets out. The U.S. government says, well, we can't have a Captain America that decapitates people in, you know, the town square. So they take the shield from him, and then they give it back to Falcon, and then and they use it to try to settle the score with the Flag Smashers. Is that satisfying? Do we think that that's a good story?
It depends completely on what they do with John Walker.
Right.
What happens? What is his reaction to losing being Captain America? We haven't seen his girlfriend lately. We only saw his best friend being dead. And obviously, if he takes it well, that will be disappointing. So, give the shield back to Sam so that he can use it in the sky during the last battle sequence, which most likely will be in the air, and he'll be throwing the Captain America shield in the air and deciding he is worthy. Sure, that has a bit of weight to it. I care slightly about that.
Well, but we know
as
that,
as previously mentioned, I'd rather have Bucky have it.
Yeah, no, I think that we all collectively would rather Bucky have it. We know that they're going to get the shield back, because in the trailer we saw them throwing it around at a bunch of trees. So that's happening. If Marvel was smart, and I think they are generally, I think they know what they're doing, they would have not a redemption for Walker, but he did the right thing in the end, but is still a douchebag moment for him. So they could then use him as a morally gray character, maybe in the Hawkeye show.
Oh, God.
Oh, shut up. Give
me
a chance.
I want to think about the Hawkeye show 0%. I will never. Hawkeye sucks.
I can't wait for that show to come out, and you're going to be like, this show changed television.
Listen, there will never be a show I go in with lower expectations. So I invite it to be at all good. I just don't think it will be, because Hawkeye sucks. So, I think an interaction that can be a bit expounded upon for this episode that I found interesting was that Zemo acknowledged that Steve was an example of absolute power not corrupting absolutely. And it also seems that after that, Sam is like, yeah, well, what about Bucky too? Like, he is also a person with super serum in his body.
He's
like,
some kind of your super end mutant, goal, yeah.
Is your end goal to also shoot and kill Bucky Barnes? Because then we have a problem. Like, to what end, like, what percentage do you need to eradicate super serum for your goal to be met? But Zemo does say, and, he could be lying, and he could be like, I was just manipulating you, as I always do. But he does say, it did work out for Steve Rogers. But how many Steve Rogers are there?
Right.
Which is a solid point.
It's a very good point. There's one. He's the exception.
There was one.
Right. Well, we don't know if he's alive or dead.
Now he's old as fuck.
Yeah, we haven't seen him. So that actually kind of brings me to another point. The showrunners have said, prepare yourselves for episode 5 because you're going to cry. And the assumption is there's going to be some kind of cameo or something is going to happen. And I have really only two theories here. One is that we're going to get Steve Rogers. He's going to make a cameo and he's going to die. Probably heroically, or we get T'Challa, and we learn that Chadwick filmed a cameo in the show before he died,
deep faked him.
No, they've very much said that they were not going to do that with his character. They were not going to recast him. They were not going to CG him into a movie. They were going to tastefully explain his story off screen. I imagine maybe they'll have like some CG like in the Black Panther suit. That's what I'm imagining they'll do, and then he'll die off screen. But he was alive during the writing and shooting of the show.
Yeah, and Wakanda's here already. It would make sense.
Yeah. Mm. Both of those would be cameos that would be very heavy in this show.
But I think I've already said this previously, which is I don't want cameos in this show of people who are bigger stars than Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I would like the show to stop being less and less about them.
Right. No, that's a good point. It harkens back to everybody wanting Doctor Strange to show up in WandaVision. And I said from the beginning, I don't want that. I don't want Iron Man and everyone and their brother to show up in this show, because what it tells me is this show cannot stand on its own. They do not have a strong enough story here. They do not believe that they have a strong enough story here to let it live on its own. And they want to rely on star power to fill in the gaps. And whether or not that's the case, I don't want to see them believe it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. Hey, can I ask you this?
Yeah.
A person who's a comic book person?
Yep.
What is the internet talking about when they are discussing the Baron Zemo Thunderbolts? What's that all about?
So the Thunderbolts, they were a team of basically like fake Avengers. They were a bunch of villains who took on hero personas when the Avengers disappeared, and they did a bunch of good things in order to do really bad things. So they're like the anti-Avengers, kind of. And I guess you could say Zemo would be there. You could say New Cap is there as Super Patriot. I think that I heard rumors that the Ironmonger might return in Obadiah Stane's daughter. So I mean, they might be doing something there with the Thunderbolts, but they haven't announced anything officially.
No, it feels like, well, the internet is proposing it as like, this is the red herring that gets Wanda's, or that gets Agatha all alonged. And Zemo doesn't make it out of the series. But more and more, I want him to.
I think
he is the best low-level villain that the MCU has.
I think Marvel knows they've got a problem with villains, and I think they made him an ally so long so that we could get to know him better. And we've seen him do bad things so little, and the bad things he does are of such little consequence to the story, that I hope they're doing that to make him like another Loki character, but on the bad side. I think that would be good for him.
Well, you know, we're at the end of episode 4. If I wasn't doing this podcast, I think I'd still be watching the show. I don't think I would have gotten out of episode 3 if I wasn't doing the podcast. But now I'm deep. Now I'm 2 episodes back. And so, like, no matter what, I'm going to watch the show. Rip Battlestar, we barely knew ye. We didn't even get to see your logo. Lamar was pretty cool. I'm sad that he's dead. I hope that Sam's family's boat sinks. And, you know, other than that, I look forward slightly to next week, and I highly doubt it's going to make me cry. I bet my thoughts on the subject will be like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be crying, but it's just not happening. But you know what I want, Chad? I want very badly to report to you, like, well, I was a puddle. I died, went to heaven, where I was crying, I drowned again in heaven in my own tears, and then I came back to life like an Aquaman, but the only Aqua I speak of is fucking tears. That's what happened to me, but it's not going to, for sure. I'm just going to be like, that's sad.
Well, I will say that if there's any minute chance that it's going to pull some emotion out of me, I will be a puddle because I am just a wreck when it comes to any kind of tragedy in a show or movie. So there you go.
The last moment I cried in the MCU, I can't remember if I cried during the Tony Stark funeral. I might have. During the last battle, I remember like coming very close to crying. Like, yeah. The to your left moment was so overwhelming that it almost caused tears for sure. So I probably the funeral, right? So, and then prior to that,
I cried at,
I don't know,
after Tony snapped and he like went catatonic and everyone was like telling him it was going to be okay.
Oh, we're going to be okay.
Yeah, that got me. When Thanos snapped in Infinity War, and everyone was disappearing, I was too shocked to feel anything. I know a lot of people cried when Spider-Man vanished, but
they
were
trying
to, yes,
they were trying to pull tears with the "I don't want to go Spider-Man to Tony Stark" for sure. But I agree with you. I was like, oh fuck! I was just kind of freaking out. Not
yeah,
crying.
I was too like, wait, no, the movie's got to be over now. What's gonna happen? And then I also cried in an Endgame when and you're gonna laugh at me, but during the Hawkeye Romanoff, who's gonna kill himself to save the other.
Oh no, I'm not gonna laugh at you. I think Hawkeye sucks, but I think that scene was good. And then I didn't get it ruined for me as the movie was starting. So I didn't know that Natasha Romanoff was going to sacrifice herself. So I didn't cry, but I sure as heck was like, oh fuck. That is